Let's go to 1 John chapter 4, and we'll get our text. I'm going to preach to you this morning on five reasons Jesus came. Five reasons Jesus came. I hope you'll be patient with me. I have a bit of cough. I got a cough yesterday, went through the night, but it only bothers me when I talk. So I think we're in trouble. Thank you, Abby. I appreciate that. Abby always gets my humor. I have one, anyway, that gets my humor. Five reasons Jesus came. Let's read our text in 1 John chapter 4, starting in verse 7. Verse 7 of 1 John chapter 4. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. Here's the Christmas story in a verse. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation of our sins. I reread a story this week entitled, What If Jesus Had Not Come? And a story about a little boy and his dad. His dad was a preacher. They had just finished the Christmas story, and this little boy was playing with his toy train. And he said something to his dad that really made his dad think. He said, I'm glad Jesus came so we could have the Christmas story. And if he hadn't come, I wouldn't have my train. And I thought, first of all, when I read it, I thought, well, that's how the world thinks. They're really glad Jesus came so they could get gifts at Christmas. But his dad focused on that phrase, if Jesus hadn't come. You ever think about that? If Jesus hadn't come, what wouldn't be here? We wouldn't have a New Testament. We wouldn't have Harvest Baptist Church, or any church for that matter. There would be no need to meet and worship our Lord. There would be no Christmas, no message of hope or eternal life. And worst of all, there'd be no salvation. But he did come. Hallelujah. Jesus came. I want you in that same book of 1 John to look at chapter 5. John, throughout this book, writes repeatedly how we know things. You can know you have eternal life. Here, we know that Jesus came. Look at verse 20 of 1 John 5. And we know that the Son of God has come and hath given to us understanding that we may know him that is true. And we are in him that is true, even in his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. The first phrase, and we know that the Son of God is come. Jesus did come. I'm going to take these five reasons from the word manifest. The word manifest, John uses five times in this epistle. And each time it has a different reason. Manifest means to make known or to reveal or to show. So in this epistle, we're going to see there are five reasons that God wanted us to know why Jesus came. The first one is in the first two verses of the book, chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. Jesus came to show us eternal life is obtainable. Jesus came to show us eternal life is obtainable. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we had looked upon and our hands have handled of the word of life. For this life was shown, and we have seen it, and bear witness and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father was shown or manifested unto us. God wanted us to know that we can have eternal life, and this life is in his Son. 1 John 5, 11 and 12. And this is the record, that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son hath not life. John said it in his gospel. 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Jesus came to show us that eternal life is obtainable. Listen, everyone in this room is going to live somewhere forever. Everyone in this world is going to live somewhere forever. Jesus came to give us an opportunity to spend eternity with him. Hallelujah. Eternal life is obtainable. Number two, let's go to chapter 3, 1 John chapter 3 and verse 5. The second reason Jesus came was to take away our sins and show us forgiveness is possible. Verse 5, and you know that he was manifested, there's that word, to take away our sins, and in him is no sin. Paul says it this way to the church at Ephesus, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. John the Baptist said when he saw Christ, behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world. Jesus came to show us forgiveness is possible. You can be forgiven today. Listen, someone is going to have to pay for your sin. Ezekiel tells us in Ezekiel 18:4, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. Paul tells us in Romans 6, for the wages of sin is death. Someone is going to have to pay for your sin. Either you're going to pay for your sin in a Christless eternity called hell, or you are going to accept the gift of God through Jesus Christ and his payment. That's called redemption. Jesus came to show us we could have forgiveness with God. We could be redeemed through the blood of Christ. And then he asks us to forgive others because of that. Listen, one of the things that should identify you and I as believers is that we are forgiving because we have been forgiven. You know, Christmas time sometimes brings up some pretty sad family memories, doesn't it? And you know what? It's usually around something that hasn't been forgiven. Something that happened a while ago that needs to be forgiven. And for some reason, we're just not going to do it. And so we don't visit our family. We don't write to so-and-so. We don't talk to so-and-so and so on and so forth. But let me tell you, Jesus came to show us forgiveness if possible. And if God can forgive us, then we can forgive others. And he told us that, didn't he? Many times, do that. If I'm forgiving you, you forgive others. Listen, let this Christmas time be a time of reconciliation, yeah? Amen. Forgive people like we have been forgiven. The third reason Jesus came is in this same chapter and verse 8. The Bible says, he that committeth sin is of the devil. For the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil and show us that judgment is inevitable. Satan has always hated the people and the work of God. From the very first book, God said, it's going to be through my Son that you will be judged. Genesis 3:15, and I will put enmity between thee and the woman, between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. The writer of Hebrews said it this way, but we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is, the devil. You see, God knowingly knew that Jesus would have to come to die to destroy Satan's power over this world, and he did. But Satan and sin will be judged. In Revelation chapter 20, it tells us that the devil is going to be cast in the lake of fire and be tormented day and night forever and ever. For it is appointed a man once to die, and after that the judgment. Folks, again, Satan is going to face his day, but so will you if you don't have Jesus Christ as your Savior. You know what? If you know Christ, Paul says in Romans chapter 5, there is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. There is no judgment. Our sins were judged on the cross. There is no future judgment awaiting us. Hallelujah. Jesus took our penalty. But if you're still going to pay for your sins, you will face that judgment just like Satan did. Judgment is inevitable. Number four, 1 John chapter 4, we saw it in our text. Jesus came to show us God's love for us and that God's love is livable. Jesus came to show us God's love is livable. In this was manifested the love of God toward us because God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live and love through him. That's why God asks us to love our neighbor and to love our brother and to love one another and even to love our enemy, because it's possible. Because God did it. But God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we're yet sinners, Christ died for us. He didn't wait for you and I to get cleaned up so we could deserve salvation. While we were sinners, Christ died for us. I've talked to so many folks that say, you know what? I'll get around to it when I clean my life up a little bit, when I get rid of this habit. You know what? I'm going to start going to church again, and I'm going to say, you know what? And I always tell them the same thing. If you wait to be good enough, you're going to wait a long time. God loved you and sent his Son to die for you when you were a sinner. You remember that? Oh, that was an awesome day when I understood that. That was an awesome day when I said, God, you mean you love me just the way I am? Yeah, that's what the Bible says. And I took Jesus as my Savior. In fact, I celebrated my 50th spiritual birthday just a few days ago. Man, hallelujah. Let me read you a little story now. We're just about finished. I appreciate your attention. Kids, I appreciate the good job you're doing. Just a little bit more. There is a couple doing a good job. Now, they're doing a good job. One night, a cobbler dreamed that the next day Jesus was coming to visit him. The dream seemed so real that he got up very early the next morning and hurried to the woods where he gathered green boughs to decorate his shop for the arrival of the special guest. He waited all morning, but to his disappointment, his shop remained quiet except for an old man who limped up to the door and asked to come in for a few minutes of warmth. While the man was resting there, the cobbler noticed that the old fellow's shoes were worn through. Touched, the cobbler took a new pair from his shelves and saw to it the stranger was wearing them as he went his way. As he continued to wait throughout the afternoon, His only visitor that afternoon was an elderly woman. He had seen her struggling under a heavy load of firewood, invited her into, and he had discovered that she had not eaten for 2 days, and he saw to it that she had a nourishing meal before she went her way. And then as night began to fall, there was a cry heard outside the door, and this little boy who was lost and afraid was there. And he went out and soothed the youngster's tears, and with his little hand, he took the child home. And when he returned, he was afraid that Jesus had come while he was gone. Now he lived through the moments that he had imagined them, the knock at the door, the latch lifted, the radiant face, the offered cup. He dreamed that he would have kissed the hands where the nails had been, washed the feet where the spikes had entered. Then the Lord would have sat and talked to him. In his anguish, the cobbler cried, "Why is it, Lord, that your feet delay? Why have you forgotten that this was the day you were to visit me?" Then the soft, silent voice of the Savior spoke, "Lift up your heart, for I kept my word. 3 times I came to your friendly door, 3 times my shadow was on your floor. I was the man with the bruised feet. I was the woman you gave food to eat. And I was the child on the homeless street." You see, by loving others, we show our love for Jesus. And Jesus came to show us that God's love is livable through us. Believer, are you loving people like you should? Are you loving people like Jesus loved you? This is a wonderful time of year to show your love. Finally, the fifth reason Jesus came is in 1 John 4:14. And we have seen and do testify the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Jesus came to be the Savior of the world and show us salvation is available. In Acts chapter 4, the Bible says, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. In John 14, Jesus said to Thomas, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Listen, ma'am, sir, if you're here today relying upon your baptism or your church membership or your goodness, it's not good enough. It's not enough. Jesus is the only way. No religion can save you. No baptism, no church membership, no goodness. Only Jesus. And I am so thankful this morning that you can still make a reservation. Salvation is still available. You know, we talk a lot about gifts at Christmas time. This is the greatest gift. Jesus is the greatest gift, and God says it. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. For by grace are you saved through faith, not of works. It is a gift of God. It's the greatest gift you could ever receive. Let me just tell you in closing. Don't leave without the gift. I tell a story often of my grandma's house when my mom was bundling us all up and getting us out to the car, and my grandma runs to the door and she said, Georgia, don't leave without your gift. My mom had left her gift on the kitchen table. You know what I'm going to ask you today? The same thing. Don't leave harvest without the gift. And for sure, don't leave this world without the gift. The greatest gift is salvation through Jesus Christ. There are five reasons he came. Eternal life is obtainable. You can live with Jesus forever. Forgiveness is possible. Judgment is inevitable. God's love is livable. And salvation is available. Do you know for sure if you died today where you would spend eternity? God wants you to know. God sent his Son to pay your penalty so you could know. Not just think so, not just hope so, so you could know. In fact, John says it in chapter 5. These things have I written unto you that believe in the name of the Son of God that ye may know ye have eternal life. If you're not sure, don't leave harvest this morning without the gift. I would love to talk with you after the service. There are pastors around. Make this the best Christmas ever. And know you're busy. I know you're busy and you have commitments and all those kind of things. But if God has spoken to you about your eternity today, let us call us. Let's set up an appointment this week or next week. But let me help you understand how to know for sure you're going to spend eternity in heaven. And then, believer, let me just challenge you again. Jesus came to show us God's love is livable. How are you doing with forgiveness and loving people? This is an awesome time of year to start over again. You might have had some pretty rough things in your past, and you may just need to forgive them and move on with life, but you can do that through the power of Christ. That's why Jesus came. And I'm glad you came this morning. Let's pray together. Father, we are so grateful for the greatest gift of Jesus. We were lost and undone. We had no hope of heaven, but you came. You came for these five reasons today, and we are challenged by them and we are encouraged by them. Use your word in our hearts, and I pray for that one that might be here, not sure of his eternity, that today they would accept the gift. And then, Lord, those of us that know you as personal Savior, I pray you'd help us to be forgiving and loving as you were to us. In Jesus' name, Amen.